Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season, and that's when, like, sports guys release books and stuff like that. I've been waiting to have this guy on. He is local. He's around the corner. He is Edge of Sports. You can follow him out on Twitter and writes the deep thoughts and the dirty truths that sometimes the mainstream media misses. The book is The Kaepernick Effect, Dave Zirin. Defending champion and first time on the Zoom lens. Dude, my hair has grown since the last time. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. The hair is different. The specs are a little different, but it's still Nestor.
Well, yeah. I became familiar with you when I was Googling to write a book right before my wife got sick about a decade ago in regard to Free the Birds and in regard to this Peter Principles thing I was writing about the prick who's owned the baseball team here for going on 30 years. And this was a long time ago. And when I Googled it, you had written about my walkout as part of one of your books. I became familiar with your work. You call yourself Edge of Sports. I don't even know like where you came from or the whole background on your bio, but I know you take on topics of deep significance and certainly cultural significance in a way that makes you toxic for some people, but very, very enlightening for folks like me, Dave.
Well, thanks, Nestor. I try not to be too toxic.
Well, the truth is toxic for you. Nobody wanted to touch this. They were all afraid of this, bro. All of them.
Yeah, I mean, I've done some good media hits, but nothing on certain four-letter networks that are broadcast partners with the National Football League.
Imagine that.
Found that very interesting that's been like a dry well while other places have wanted to talk about this issue. Because the thing that I'm raising in this book is it's not even about Colin Kaepernick. It's about the people affected by him. It's about high school students, college students, professionals. And not only about them taking a knee during the anthem to protest racial inequity and police brutality, but also about how the fallout affected them when they did so. It was a fascinating time writing the book and talking to dozens of young athletes about their experiences.
Had a dramatic effect on my life and my industry and everything that I do around this football team. I was in Wembley when the son of a bitch tweet came out from that creep that ran the country. I'm in London. I took a knee in Wembley Station. I'll pull the picture up for you on the way to the football game that day. I went down in the locker room and I talked to 9 or 10, 11. There were still some pictures as to who actually took the knee and who didn't. And I worked a lot. Flacco talked to all of them after they got their ass kicked. I got fired by two clients literally before halftime who said, we can't have their kind in our place anymore. The Ravens, we're done with the Ravens. Like, and then the industry and certainly the military side of, and I know you're a Ravens fan, that Steve Bisciotti at one point thought about signing him for a minute or two, and the club level people weren't going to have that. I know Steve has since released a video that certainly took some social issues last year in a way that a lot of NFL owners have not still to this day, but nothing has been more toxic than this guy and this situation for the league, for money, who's on whose side, drawing up lines. And as much as I was told stick to sports, you were told a lot worse, I'm sure.
Oh, sure, because there's some people who do not know how to disagree without being disagreeable. And what Colin Kaepernick provokes is a very passionate response, and that's fine. Passion is good. We can agree, we can disagree, we can talk about whether or not demonstrating during the space of the anthem is something that is supported by the freedoms that this country is supposed to stand upon, or if it's something that should not happen. But what you saw was an utter distorting, a warping of what he was trying to communicate and what he was trying to stand for. I mean, he wanted to protest racial inequity and police brutality. And what came out was, oh, he's against the military. Oh, he's against the flag. Oh, he's against the country. And by doing that, and of course, we know who is the chief of doing that was Donald Trump, was what you do in that case is you immediately divide people and set up the battle lines instead of actually having the conversation that Colin Kaepernick wanted this country to have. And not just Colin Kaepernick, but the hundreds, if not thousands of young athletes throughout this country wanted this country to have, which is about how can we make policing in this country more just?
Dave, the one thing I want to say is about the NFL and the NFLPA and the frauds like Jerry Jones that did these kneeling, fake knee, bringing religion and conscience, like all of that got pushed, you know, right to the center on this. But the league was so, so cowardly. And a year and a half, 2 years later, to see Roger Goodell drinking cocoa with his slippers on and them devoting entire broadcast of drafts to racial equity and these issues that they didn't just not want to confront it. They put an assault in on those who did. And I've really had a struggle with this over the last couple of years in regard to the way I reported. It's changed my life. I mean, it took me out of sports, Dave. I created Baltimore Positive because I don't feel the vibe I'm getting from sports is real when this is going on in a league that is 80% full of color, especially on the field.
Yeah, I mean, and especially on the field, indeed. I mean, you get off the field, whether you're talking about franchise owners, there are no black franchise owners in the NFL. Executives, coaches, the numbers are really scant. And that's why Michael Bennett, former Seattle Seahawk, who I did a book with, he once said to me, people think the NFL is integrated, but it's actually segregated because it's segregated between those of us who are putting our bodies on the line and those who get to basically profit off of our 100% injury rate. And so it's a segregated product. And that's always stuck with me. You know, the joke among players is that NFL stands for either not for long or N-word for lease. And, you know, that's part of what I think NFL owners were scared of, that Colin Kaepernick was stirring up something that already existed in the NFL, which is a lot of dissatisfaction with the racial structuring of power in the league. Even though Colin Kaepernick was talking about police violence and the like, the mere fact that he was a player in the National Football League, not just being that sort of quiet, oh, well, we just play one game at a time sort of guy, I mean, that scared a lot of people. So what you've seen ownership do, and you referenced it, is adopt a kind of carrot and stick approach. Because they couldn't just pretend that what Colin Kaepernick was raising, and frankly, what the whole country was raising, didn't exist, particularly when their workforce, as you mentioned, is overwhelmingly people of color. So what they did was, you know, they start these, you know, racial justice committees or the racial equity draft and all of these things that are meant to send a message that, hey, we get it, while at the same time, Colin Kaepernick, still no job. Eric Reed, who I interview for the book, no job. Kenny Stills, who I interview for the book, no job. And they're on the outside looking in. That's the stick part. It's sending a message to this young generation of players that you better be in line. If you want to do something, it better be within acceptable league parameters or you're going to find yourself out of work.
Well, Dave, just in my own situation of dealing with that power and how I met you with Free the Birds, I had my press credential taken away, and it was me being hung after 23 years of having a credential in front of all the other media so that they didn't get uppity. And that, you know, I never saw it any other way. That's exactly what it was. And no one's been uppity since. Stadium's empty. There were 3,000 people inside. There were more rats in the stadium than people this week. I know you have an Oriole bend as well. But, you know, this is what happens when the train gets out on this stuff. And people don't speak truth to power. And that power is left unchecked. And there's a lot of that's going on with the National Football League in regard to money, in regard to advertising, in regard to bringing Rush Limbaugh in on the ESPN broadcast years ago and the Donovan McNabb thing at that point and dividing. I've seen it destroy baseball, right? Like baseball has no chance with any people of color other than people that came from Venezuela like my people did. But that's changed dramatically as well. Horse racing, there's a time and a season for everything. I've always felt like the thing that will get the NFL will be the brain trauma and will be the body trauma and will be just the fact that they're not going to want to get young people to play this game and moms aren't going to let their kids play it. That's always been the dirty, you know, concussion thing that they've tried to in many, many ways, covert and otherwise. There's been movies made about that, right? So, but this thing here was front and center and it happened in the middle with this idiot president and it was almost a perfect storm to allow them to show this side that I still have a hard time getting over, especially when they shove it down my throat in commercials that they've changed their ways and Colin's welcome back, except he's not, and his kind are not.
Right. Now, that's true. And maybe in 20 years, they'll have a Colin Kaepernick Social Justice Award in the National Football League. But I would argue that this is a dark mark against the league. This is a bruise, not unlike the bruise in Major League Baseball of not having black players until 1947 or having a color line until 1947. Apologies for the siren in the background.
Or even everything that happened with Curt Flood in the aftermath and just how acrimonious it actually really has always been in baseball. Right?
Yeah, and when you have black athletes trying to agitate for change, trying to use the platform that they believe they've played a very strong role in building to say something about the world, the backlash can be very intense. And in that regard, Colin Kaepernick is part of a very proud tradition in sports of black athletes, you know, really saying, you know, like just because, and I'm paraphrasing Jackie Robinson here, just because, you know, I've become a major league player, you might think that I've had it made. Well, that isn't so. I do not have it made because as long as my people are in a position of oppression, it doesn't really matter how I'm doing as an individual.
Dave Zirin is our guest. He's Edge of Sports out on Twitter. The book is The Kaepernick Effect, Taking a Knee, Changing the World. You can check the book out. You write a lot. How many books now for you? You do a lot of books, man.
Yeah, this is number 11.
11. Okay. And tackling this one as an overall message, you mentioned young people.
Yes.
And what young people are seeing old people do and what has been made acceptable in our culture for what you call this guy or how you treat people like this or how you treat the people who think this wasn't such a bad thing, that it might have been a good thing. Mm-hmm. For in a lot of ways that they're clearly two different schools right now. We all get together on Sunday and come together as Raven and Raider fans or Raven and Chiefs fans or whatever. But I guess the long tail is where is the social change in all of this? It is nice that the NFL's put lip service and advertising and money behind it. But then there's the reality of what they do to black coaches every single offseason, right?
Exactly. And that's why I believe this isn't really an NFL story. I mean, I talk about the NFL in the book. But to me, if we're looking for substantive social change, I think we have to look at these high schools and colleges where these young people put it all out on the line. And I interviewed dozens of young athletes for this book. And the conversations that they were able to provoke through their courage and bravery. Now, a lot of them faced threats of violence. A lot of them faced actual violence. But their bravery is something that actually makes me feel very optimistic. Like, it's easy to feel pessimistic, especially these days. But, you know, I in writing this book, it made me optimistic because of their courage. And it made me I was so grateful to them that I'm giving proceeds of the book to an organization in DC called Serve Your City, which is a mutual aid organization, because I want to pay their courage forward, not necessarily profit from it myself, because we have to pay it forward if we're ever going to see any kind of real change. So, I mean, I left feeling very positive precisely because these young people had the bravery to say what was okay for my parents' generation is not okay for me.
Spending time with Kaepernick, you know, through all of this, I have never, I mean, obviously the Super Bowl, the lights went out. I wrote a book on that, Dave, you know, but as far as ever being in a locker room or chatting with him or whatever, nothing like that. He's kind of forgotten and disappeared, even though on Twitter, I guess you can follow and find out, but where is he? What is the Kaepernick effect on Kaepernick right now? Didn't he win like a ton of money in a law? He's compensated, but on a daily basis, he's really iconic in a way that over the course of time, everyone's going to want to hear his story read stories like you about the effect of his story, right? And his story's far from done, right? You know,
far from done. And we're going to be hearing a lot more from Colin Kaepernick in the current year. He's doing what a lot of athletes do in this day and age, which he's trying to really grab hold of it and control his own message and his own messaging. So he's got his own company. He's going to produce a dramatization of his young life. He's putting out a children's book based on his young life. So he's trying to flush out like who exactly he is. And I think that's what we're going to see from him in the next year. To me, what I say to people is like, yeah, that stuff's great. But to me, the effect is actually more important than the individual, because there are thousands of young athletes in this country who really took the baton and ran with it when they saw what Colin Kaepernick was doing. And the effect that that's had on communities, I would argue, is an unwritten story, which is why I wanted to write it.
Well, not only that, but the effect it's going to have on pro sports, how the NBA and China and you know, whatever is going to become of baseball, and the next thing that's going to happen, whether it's lacrosse or three-on-three basketball, whatever is going to make money is going to have to be more inclusive in so many ways than the way the old white men that have run the NFL would look at this. And you know, Art Modell pays a heavy price, and I know you have some Raven connection in that, and Art hiring Ozzie Newsome, Art not just moving a franchise, but situations with Jim Brown many years ago, and Mike Brown and the Brown family, you know, through all of this. I you know, the league and the story of the league was written with people of color playing a huge role in this, and I'm fascinated to know 20 years from now if Peyton Manning's going to own a team, or if Michael Strahan's going to own a team, or if John Bon Jovi's going to own a team, or whether it's just going to be a bunch of, you know, businesses and old white tycoons and Russian investors. It's going to be fascinating because those guys control so much, and it's not a monopoly, but as a guy that's done sports radio for 30 years, my 30th anniversary, it's the only thing that matters. Hey, yeah. You're in DC. You can talk, you can Wizards me and Capitals me and Nationals me to death. But the team with no name there still sort of has always run the roost. And in America, not in the world, but in America, the NFL sets the tone. And that's what made this
absolutely
such a crazy thing for the president to be getting involved in.
And it also made, for someone like Donald Trump, it was a logical thing for him to involve himself in, because for him, he's got that lizard brain that's able to connect with what divides people. I mean, in a way like no politician in our lifetime. And so he sees black quarterback, National Football League, taking a knee, an opportunity to attack him over patriotism, an opportunity to attack him over the military, an opportunity to be dishonest, quite frankly, about what is happening. And that's an opportunity that a Donald Trump will seize upon time and again.
Well, there's also the pettiness, because I, you know, I've dealt with Angelos long enough. The pettiness of them not letting him in the league.
Oh yeah.
You know the stuff that Perlman did a couple of years ago on the USFL and the letters, and you know, I had the world's worst crush on Carling Bassett. Do you remember her?
Sure,
absolutely beautiful. Her father wrote the biggest FU letter, and he had a very large phallic situation because he was a brewer and had more money. He had real money. And the letter, if anybody Googles that, and Perlman dug that up, and it's an old message, but it really does speak to who these men are that own these football teams. And when the rubber meets the road, it was a real failing grade for and most of them not named York, right?
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. And understanding those dynamics of ownership is going to be very important for us going forward, because they do have a tremendous amount of cultural power. And players are going to challenge that power. And as fans or as citizens, it's not enough for us to view this as a spectator sport. Like, we should be willing to take a side.
Well, and then the people say, well, you know, no kneeling, stick to sports. And then we're going to have jet fighters flying in the desert 3 nights ago in Las Vegas over a dome that nobody could see the jet fighters. That kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the spectacle, and that's people don't realize that's a financial partnership between the Pentagon and the National Football League.
Well, the Ravens were first outed on that, right? The Ravens were taking more money for Lee Greenwood and the knee than anybody. And they hate it when I talk. They want to punish me when I say that. It's fact. It's a fact. And it just is.
Yeah. And so when people say, oh, they don't believe in politics mixing with sports, oftentimes what they're really saying is they don't agree with mixing politics that they disagree with in sports, because sports is already rife with politics.
What's next for you, Dave? The Kaepernick effect is out now, taking a knee and changing the world. It's new. I know you're talking about it, but You know, I know all you writer types. I have you on all the time. There's always, you always get three more. So like Springsteen, you got some album you're working on always.
Well, I mean, this obviously is my focus in a big way. I mean, the book just dropped on Tuesday, but you know, in the back of my head, I like the idea of looking back at the 1984 Olympics. And I'm not talking about, you know, Jordan winning a gold or Mary Lou Retton. I'm talking about what was happening in Los Angeles in 1984. That the Olympics served as a kind of an amplifying backdrop to. That's sort of tickling at my brain.
I won a lot of McDonald's scratch offs that summer, gained a lot of weight on free Big Macs fries. You know, when we won a lot of gold that year and I ate a lot of Big Macs. So,
just like the Olympians.
They're not even a sponsor. Dave Zirin joining us here. Dude, if you have crab cakes at all and you live locally, you come up to Baltimore, you always we'll never have a tourist crab cake here in my town if you come by. Nice. All right. So I love your work. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you really carrying a torch for a lot of what journalists should be doing, pointing out uncomfortable truths. So I applaud you for that, man. You're a maverick, and I stand on the wall with you, my friend. All right?
Thanks, Nestor. I really appreciate that.
Sell some books, brother. The Kaepernick Effect, Dave Zirin. He is Edge of Sports. You can find him out anywhere the internet is served at Edge of Sports. You can find me anywhere Royal Farms is served. They don't you get it down in the district a little bit. You got to come up here for Chicken Palooza, even though Dave lives down there in D.C. Chicken Palooza is over, but they still have plenty of chicken for you, plenty of Western fries, and always that coffee that Justin Tucker sings about. We'll be singing more if he actually hits the game-winning field goal and the defense doesn't allow teams to come back with 37 seconds remaining. I am Nestor. We are – next time on, we'll just talk football, dude. You and me. We'll just do Ravens, all right?
This is a Ravens house that I'm in from top to bottom. My son's got a signed J.K. Dobbins jersey framed over his bed.
Ouch.
I know.
That hurts. That hurts.
He's 13. It hurt him a lot more than, you know, it even hurts us.
Well, the logo's purple here for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So the orange is just hopeful. That's in our second segment. Dave and I take on Angelos, and we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.